Hello, welcome to the Way to Wellness podcast. I'm your host and founder of Way to Wellness, and this is the third podcast in our six-part series on wellness in times of stress. Today, we're going to talk about daily decisions that matter in times of stress. We make lots of decisions every day, but there are four decisions that directly affect our health and wellness. The first one is probably the most simple one, and we've been hearing a lot about it in this time of the pandemic and during flu season as well, and that's hand washing. Not only hand washing, but making sure that you use soap and water for 20 seconds. You might wonder, why is this so important? Well, the research shows that this is one of the most important things that you can do to minimize your risk of illness and the spread of germs. But why 20 seconds? That seems like a random number that may have been selected by some soap company. But as it turns out, there is a science behind the 20-second sing the happy birthday song twice hand washing rule. I was working with some elementary students and stumbled across a video on the subject. I suppose the makers of the video knew that kids would invariably ask about why they would have to wash their hands for 20 seconds. Well, adults are asking that too. And here's the answer. The outer layer of many germs is coated with a layer of fat. This fat helps the germs stick to things like your hands. Washing with water alone just runs right over the germs. But when you add soap, that will break down the fatty oils so that the germs can be rinsed away in the water. Here's the deal. The process takes a specific amount of time to work. You guessed it, 20 seconds. So lesson learned, wash your hands with soap and water and sing the happy birthday song twice. It's also been said that soap and water is actually better than hand sanitizers because while hand sanitizers can destabilize the fatty oils, without the water to wash them away, it's not as effective. So once again, Mom was right all those years when she continued to remind us to wash our hands with soap and water. While we're on the subject of water, decision number two is drink water daily. Deciding to drink water rather than soda or other less healthy beverages will improve your body's ability to perform in a number of ways, from maintaining blood pressure, since blood is made up of more than 90% water, to preventing premature wrinkling of your skin. The benefits of drinking water are well documented and the list is long. We know drinking water is good for us, but how much water is really the right amount? In the past, we heard that 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day was the right amount, 64 ounces. But since people range in body size, it's best to consider that one size doesn't fit all. So experts have now said that drinking 1/2 of an ounce of water for each pound of your weight is best. In other words, divide your weight in half to get the number of ounces you need. So a person that weighs about 150 pounds would need to drink 75 ounces of water each day. Luckily for most of us, clean water is at our fingertips, right at our kitchen faucet. And it's pretty low cost. I know that my water bill is my lowest bill I get each month. The research shows us that tap water is just as safe as bottled water, so there's no need to spend a lot of money on fancy bottled water. And tea and coffee do count in your tally. Even though caffeine is a diuretic, the amount of water will outweigh any side effects of that. So load up on your H2O, keep a big thermos filled with water and drink on it all day. Or I keep several bottles in the refrigerator and add a few drops of coconut juice or some other flavorings just for some variety. You will get some water from the foods that you eat, but it's hard to calculate the amounts. If you're a very active person, you may want to select some of the bottled waters that have electrolytes. Otherwise, fresh out of the tap will be just fine. Now moving to daily decision number three. You may ask yourself sometimes, should I stay up late and watch another season of my favorite TV series? Or should I get to bed since I have that 8 a.m. work video meeting? Well, decision number three is about how much sleep you're getting on a regular basis. on occasion, if you do stay up late to binge watch your favorite show, it's not going to wreak havoc on your health. But if you're getting less than the recommended 7 to 9 hours that most adults need, then you may be setting yourself up for a host of issues that will affect your physical and mental well-being if you're sleep-deprived for periods of time. Dr. Frank Lipman, the author of How to Be Well, may have summed it up best when he said, and I quote, "Lack of sleep can make you fatter, biologically older, and more at risk for heart disease and diabetes." End of quote. Research, and probably your own experience, tells you that when you feel fatigued, you know your thinking and your ability to concentrate is more challenged, and it makes it more difficult to manage stress effectively also. The number of hours for sleep really does vary from individual to other individuals. The studies do show that the 7 to 9 hours is an important range for most people. So you should have a pretty good sense of how many hours works for you. If you keep your sleep and wake cycle about the same each night, that's going to go a long way to keeping you in good health. In addition to the amount of sleep you're getting, pay attention to the quality of sleep. Some things that may interfere with a good night's sleep are eating too close to bedtime, use of alcohol, the light exposure, and just the sleeping environment in general. So make sure that you consume that last meal and perhaps last glass of wine at least 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. Also, give yourself time to wind down from any media and create an environment that's conducive to sleep. They say that typically a cool environment in temperatures ranging from 64 degrees to 72 degrees are often the best sleeping temperatures. Very low or no light is best because it signals your body that it's time to go to sleep. By making the decision to maintain a regular sleep and wake cycle, your body and mind will thank you by performing better and staying well. Daily decision number 4. It would be hard to talk about daily wellness without including food. I touched on this topic in the second podcast when we were discussing managing snacking habits. This time, we're going to focus on daily meal habits. Of course, the topic of food and wellness could go on for hours and hours, but for this podcast, we're going to focus on a few simple decisions that you can make each day during times of stress. When you're feeling stressed, it triggers your body's natural fight or flight response. This is when your body releases a chemical called cortisol, which is sometimes referred to as the stress hormone. It's your body's way of preparing to deal with a stressful situation by providing energy that you may need to take action right away. However, most of today's stress doesn't require that we take an immediate physical response. The cortisol actually leads to some behaviors that may not be needed, like increasing hunger. According to the American Psychological Association, about 25% of adults report overeating to manage their stress, and a third report eating unhealthy foods because it's a habit to reach for the high-fat, sugary foods that often seem to be more comforting. You need to think about what you're eating in your times of stress. Make a note of the foods that you tend to reach for or cook when you're feeling stressed. It may be helpful to keep a food diary for a few days so you can get a better picture of your eating habits. This will help you decide what to add and what to remove from your daily meals. Start by ridding your refrigerator and pantry of the unhealthy items that might be tempting you in times of stress. Often during stressful times, we go to the comfort foods that we remember from our youth, but you might need to give those a healthy update. For example, Grandma's homemade chicken noodle soup. There's actually some research to show that chicken noodle soup does make people feel better when they're ill. But oftentimes, these soups were made with high-fat chicken stock and loaded with more meat and less vegetables. To turn that into a healthier option, try to make it with vegetable stock and use twice the amount of vegetables and less meat. Also, use whole grain noodles. This will double the amount of fiber, which will make it more filling and have more health benefits. It may not taste exactly like Grandma's. Nothing ever does. but the aroma could bring up some of those comforting memories, and you might find more comfort in knowing that you're eating something that's healthy for you. If it's sweets that you're craving, look for alternative recipes. I recently found a recipe on a site called MyFitnessPal. It's called Blueberry Mug Muffin. It only has 1 tablespoon of sugar and 2 teaspoons of coconut oil or canola oil, and takes less than 2 minutes to make in the microwave. I'll go ahead and make sure there's a link on the show notes. This can satisfy your craving for something sweet without having to bake up a whole tray of cookies or a cake that could tempt you into eating more than you need. By stocking your fridge and pantry with healthy options and updating comfort foods with healthier ingredients, your decision to eat healthy meals will be much easier and attainable. We're faced with a multitude of decisions each day. By considering these 4 decisions that truly do matter because it directly affects your health and well-being, this will keep you on your way to wellness. Thank you for listening today.